All right.
So I guess give me a sense of what we're looking at here and how it looks today versus what it might have looked like
sure.
a couple months ago.
Sure. So this is the location of our drill program from that we completed between July and the end of August this past year, so 2025. And what we're standing on right here is the access road that comes into the first drill site. You see those orange stakes sticking up out of the ground? That's where we completed the first two drill holes. And the site's been reclaimed. It's been revegetated. Behind those stakes is where the sump was excavated to contain the drill cuttings. And when we're done with that, done with the entire drill program, those drill cuttings are mixed with cement and then it's buried. All of the activities that we conducted in here were done under the permits and authorization from the Wisconsin DNR and the U.S. Forest Service. And they regulated the access road. They regulated how we managed the drill cuttings, the types of materials that we used in the drill program, and then they regulate how we have to reclaim the site. So all of our work that we've done in here is financially assured, meaning it's bonded with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, so that we're held accountable for the reclamation and the abandonment of the holes. The DNR will be back out here over the course of the next year to confirm that the vegetation has taken root. It's healthy, it's stable, and they'll have to do that before we get our financial assurance back.
So I know one of there are people that are opposed to mining, period, but there are other people just have concerns that all these exploratory drillings that going deep in the Earth's surface, what are you pumping in there, the exposure. What does this prove to them, or what would you want them to be able to see here?
Well, a couple things. First of all, the type of drilling that we're doing is really no different than what's done for domestic residences when they're drilling a water well. The only thing that's really different is that we're going deeper, and when we get into the bedrock, we're coring that. But the drill materials and the types of technology that we use are very similar to what's done in the water well industry or other engineering applications all across the state. So it's a very safe process and it's highly regulated. The other thing that I think is important for the public is the amount of land that we disturb here is actually quite small. The road that we came in on, we didn't take out any big trees. Any tree that we did take out had to be authorized by the U.S. Forest Service, so we're talking small diameter type trees. And the area disturbance is pretty small. We're talking about a drill area here that's maybe 50 by 75 feet wide and a 10-foot wide, 15-foot wide access trail coming in here. So it's pretty limited disturbance for doing the drilling.
And so future exploratory holes will be off in that direction?
Well, future holes will be, some will be off in that direction. We'll probably have some on the other side of the road as well. So what we're looking to do is place those holes in areas to confirm either past drilling data or in areas where the deposit hasn't been fully explored.
So we're talking, how far down are we standing over what you're hoping is there?
So the bedrock here is about is covered by about 100 to maybe 125, 150 feet of glacial overburden. So that's a lot of sand and gravel and silts and stuff like that. And the mineralization is within that bedrock. And that mineralization could go down maybe 1,500 feet from the bedrock surface. We don't exactly know the extent of all that. Could be a little shallower, could be a little deeper. But that's type of depths that we're talking about.
I mean, it's interesting to think that most people could walk out here and just go for a walk in the woods and never realize what's underneath their feet.
That's right. It's kind of interesting. And the other thing, too, is people could walk through this area, and but for the stakes that we have sticking up out of the ground, they probably wouldn't know that there was drilling that was conducted here. Just on the other side of the road, we can take you to a drill site that was drilled probably 20 years ago or so. And so it's been reclaimed and stuff like that. And if you didn't know that there was a drill hole that was done there, you wouldn't know that anybody was there.
So is the concern that, like, these holes, like, stuff could come get in or stuff comes out? Or what is the environmental concern that, I mean, you guys obviously have to take care of, but what are the larger issues with that?
Well, I think some of the concerns that we've heard from the public are the types of drilling materials that we're using. And what we've always told the public is any kind of drilling material that we use, like bentonite or anything like that, to mix the mud to flush the cuttings up out of the hole, all of those products that we used are on an approved DNR list of products that can be used for any kind of drilling in the state, not just for exploration drilling. It could be for construction purposes, or if someone's doing a scientific study, they would be regulated to use the same types of products. The other thing that people tend to be concerned about is what happens to the hole once you're done with it. And again, what we are obligated to do under the permits is if we've got a 1,500 foot drill hole, we have to abandon that. And that means we have to stick a pipe down to the bottom of the hole and pump cement grout from the bottom of the hole all the way up to the top, and then pull that drill casing out so the whole thing is cemented up. And that's the same type of procedure that's required for anybody that's doing any kind of drilling, again, for exploration purposes or scientific research, et cetera.
It's a lot of concrete.
It's a lot of concrete, but it's very standard in the industry. So that's the way the practice works today.
Okay. And just from the computer graphing that we saw, like, there's holes all over around here, right? Like, this, it's not just right here.
That's correct. Yeah, so the site that we're drilling has previously been explored going back to the mid-1980s. And so, as we saw earlier in the core shed, we've got all that exploration core from those previous drill programs. So you're right. If you walk through the area, there's literally been, you know, 50 to 75 drill holes that have been drilled through this area already. And again, if you didn't know about it, you wouldn't know that any of that was done in this area.
And there's no evidence that that's caused any environmental damage or sulfides? Yeah, there's
no evidence that it's caused any damage. I've been in the industry for 35 years and, you know, understandably, people have concerns about impacts to water during a mining operation, and that's a different ball game. But for exploration purposes, I'm not aware of any exploration program that's ever caused any harm to either groundwater or surface water.
So when you're doing the community outreach, do you draw a distinction between exploration and mining? Because obviously one hopefully leads to the other. But if people's concerns are about what a mine looks like versus exploration, are you trying to, like, separate those out?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You're exactly right. That's exactly how we talk to the public about it is, you know, we're in the exploration stage now. So at this site, obviously, we would hope that the drilling data shows that there could be a mine here someday, but we don't have an answer to that question yet. That's going to require more drilling. So there's certain set of regulations that we operate under for exploration. Just because we do exploration at a site doesn't mean there's necessarily going to be a mine there. And if there does end up being a mine there, that doesn't mean there's going to be a mine here next year. We've got to do a lot of exploration work. And then we've got to do a lot of engineering analysis and environmental studies to come up with what we think is a viable, permittable mine plan. And then we would start the permitting process. So that's probably 4 to 5 years down the road.
How do you respond to people who say, well, I will oppose a mine, so why should I be okay with you? Like, I'd rather not know that whether it's worth looking here or not.
Well, there's certainly, as we've met with the public, we've seen kind of people in kind of three different camps, if you will. One, there's obviously going to be a group that's very supportive. There's going to be some folks that are kind of in the middle, wanting to learn more information. And then there's a small group that I would say that just are, you know, I don't want it in my backyard. We recognize that there's those different public perceptions out there. what we've told people is that in our public meetings is we want to hear from everybody, and we want to know what their questions are, whether they're for or they've got concerns. We will attempt to answer their questions as best we can based on the information that we have now. And as we continue doing exploration, we continue doing these engineering studies and looking at alternatives, we want to take all that public input into account and share the results of that with the public as we progressively go through this process.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else you want to add just immediately on the area or anything around here?
I think that's good.
Okay. Yeah. So we're able to walk through here, right?
Yep. You